Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of GRC and Me, a podcast designed to break down the complexities of GRC and turn them into practical strategies that you can use every day. I'm Jane Totaro, and today we're discussing what's top of mind for a CISO today as it's related to governance, risk, and compliance. And joining me today is self-proclaimed CISO in recovery, Nidhi Luthra. Throughout her career, Nidhi has led cybersecurity and risk programs across some of healthcare's largest and most complex organizations. She's experienced risk management from every perspective. As the person building the program, the executive championing it, and the customer selecting the technology to support it. Today, we'll talk about her philosophy and how it's evolved from compliance to resilience. What she's learned from years of briefing executives and boards, and why the best GRC programs aren't just about satisfying auditors, they're about helping organizations make better decisions. Kick us off. Let's start off with a fun question. Let the guests learn a little bit about you. So, what is one thing that is not on your LinkedIn that we should know about you?
So I think most people probably do not know that I'm a Lego addict, and a book collector. I think my inner circle might call me a book hoarder, but I'd like to refer to myself as a book collector. And I know you asked for just one thing, but I will tell you, I think I have far more books than shelf space, and I still think it's perfectly acceptable to. A perfectly reasonable decision to buy just one more. So if anyone's wondering what to get me, the answer is pretty simple. A Lego set, a book, a plant, a dog. I think I just complicated my answer, but there you go. You can't go wrong with any of these.
I love it. I love it. I'll have to ask you for some book recommendations after this. I can see them all on your shelves too. That's so fun.
This is just the lot in one room. We have a bit of a problem.
Love it. All right, let's jump into our first segment. So the first segment is called GRC Mythbusters, and this is where we have our guests debunk common myths and misconceptions in the GRC space. So, I'm going to ask you, is this a myth or a fact? You have to be a technical security expert before you can be an effective CISO.
Short answer is no, but I will say you need to have technical credibility and technical acumen. It served me very well. But you do not have to absolutely be the smartest engineer in the room or have configured firewalls in your life. Absolutely not. In fact, my own career has been fairly unconventional. I've led cyber organizations, but I've also led enterprise infrastructure and large scale transformations and M&A and tech operations, and more recently AI governance. And so my sort of key takeaway from all of this is I didn't realize at the time, but all of those varied experiences has shaped what I'm doing today. And so the technical expertise has certainly helped, but the hardest parts of the job that I've had to do have had very little to do with technology. They've been more about building trust and influencing folks that don't report to you, making decisions with imperfect information, and helping the business understand risk well enough to be able to make decisions. So I've always appreciated having technical leaders on my team who can go much deeper than I ever could in those domains. But my role has never been to out-engineer them. Quite the opposite. It's been to create an environment where the business can actually understand the concepts that they're trying to bring forward. And so when people ask, like yourself, whether they need to follow a traditional technical path to become a cyber practitioner or a CISO, I'd say there isn't one path anymore at all. Every organization is looking for something very different. Some need a deep technical operator, others need someone who can build a program and influence a board or lead a transformation. And I'd say that diversity of experience probably will turn out to be someone's biggest strength. It has been mine.
Thank you. That's really interesting. I love what you said about really creating an environment where the business understands what they need and kind of bridging that technical side to the greater organization. I feel like that is just so important and a really hard skill set. So thanks for sharing that. Okay, let's move into some Q&A here. Start off with the first question for you. You have held the CISO title at multiple global healthcare organizations. How did your definition of what GRC should actually do evolve across these roles that you held?
Listen, GRC is still largely, unfortunately, synonymous with compliance. That's a mistake. If we were to focus on meeting regulatory requirements and passing audits and making sure just the right controls are in place, they are important, but they are just the foundation. One of the biggest inflection points for anyone, it has been for me, is when we get to a maturity level of actually presenting to executives and boards in the business. That was my realization that executive they weren't asking whether we were just compliant. They were asking, are we resilient? Are we exposed? And what are some of the decisions that we need to make to manage this risk? And I learned very quickly that this audience was never asking me how many policies we've updated or how many controls we've implemented. They were looking to understand our risks and whether we're making progress against them and where they needed to lean in or where we needed to lean in as leaders. And so GRC and risk management becomes much less than about checking boxes and more about helping an organization understand risk in a way that supports the business, whatever the business might be. More recently, AI has accelerated that shift. It introduces questions that could not be answered, cannot be answered by cybersecurity alone. Now we're talking about governance, ethics, data quality, regulatory uncertainty, accountability, and business value, all at the same table. And to me, that's where GRC and risk management is headed. It's a decision support function. And at its best, it gives leaders the information and the confidence, to take smart risks, not just avoid them.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about healthcare.
Okay.
Healthcare is one of the most regulated industries in the world, from patient safety, FDA, HIPAA, supply chain, and you've worked in many heavily regulated industries, but what did this environment specifically teach you about cyber risk management compared to some of the other sectors that you've worked in?
I've spent the last decade in healthcare. You're right. I've worked in many heavily regulated industries. I do say that the formative part of my career has been in healthcare, though I started in financial services and in insurance. Healthcare changes your perspective because the consequences are so tangible. In any industry, a cyber incident can mean financial loss. It can mean reputational damage, operational disruption. In healthcare, it can delay care. It can delay a surgery. It can prevent a clinician from accessing a patient's record. It can disrupt delivery of care, or worse, it can interfere or tamper with care itself. So it reminds you very quickly that cyber isn't just about protecting systems. It truly is tied with the mission of an organization, and at times it can have very strong impacts and consequences on care and safety. This environment has taught me how to be very disciplined about an organization and about prioritization in a heavily regulated industry. It can become very easy to get consumed with meeting every requirement and satisfying an audit. But regulations really do exist to establish a baseline. They don't necessarily tell you where the biggest risks are. And so You know, what this industry has taught me is to ask a different question. And if I could only fix five things this year, what would actually make this organization or this practice more resilient? That leads to very different conversations than simply asking, what's the next score that we need to target? Or what's the next, you know, what are the next things that we need to do to pass an audit? I do get nervous when I see leaders trying to get me to hone in on a maturity score. Again, those are very important, but they don't necessarily reflect the true risk of the company and what the trade-offs are that we're making internally. And so those are some of the lessons that have stayed with me, whether it's healthcare, financial services, manufacturing, which again is very predominant in my career, hospitality. Every organization has limited resources. The goal is not to achieve everything. It's to understand what is most risky to the business, and where an investment will have the greatest impact. And to me, that's where risk management delivers the biggest value. It really truly helps organizations distinguish between what's important and what is a trade-off that can be made for the time being.
That's well said. And in healthcare, like you said, the stakes are really high, and it is a significant situation if there were something to go bad. So I'm curious, do you have any learnings or stories or success stories, takeaways in your experience over the 15 years in healthcare that you can share?
Sure. It's been a journey, I will tell you that. I've probably grown as much as my career. I've grown in maturity. I've grown in from every experience. There's a few things I learned. One, just assuming that when a decision is made, it's made as it's a mistake. Decisions do change. Communication has to be done regularly and often repeated. That's one thing. I've realized that the position power of the role in itself is only part of the challenge. It absolutely does take building relationships, and it does take buy-in. And like I mentioned previously, every person in an organization has limited resources and perhaps a slightly different view to the problem that we're trying to solve. And it takes a lot of talking, communication, collaboration to finally achieve what we're all ultimately trying to do, just getting to it in a different way.
Okay, Nadi, you were a GRC buyer and you selected and deployed Logigate as a CISO at a healthcare organization. So, what was driving that decision and what did you need the platform Logigate to do that you could not do without it?
So the decision was never, ever about just buying software. It was about the problem that the platform needed to solve. The problem that we had was not unique. We had risk information living in different places. Different teams were managing it differently. And a lot of the work around understanding the risk or calibrating it was very manual. I think folks will agree, spreadsheets, emails, point in time assessments. It became increasingly difficult to answer what should have been a straightforward question, like, what is our biggest risk? Where does it live? Who owns it? Are we making any progress against it? These are the fundamental questions that most companies, most organizations are trying to answer. And so when my team evaluated solutions, we cared less about the feature checklist and more about whether the platform could fit the way our organization worked. Could it adapt as we matured and our program matured? Could it connect different risk domains? Could it connect different teams that were evaluating, in their mind, disparate, isolated risks? Would other teams actually use it? Could it be democratized? Or would everyone work around it instead of being in it? We certainly did not wake up thinking, you know what I need? I need another platform. Quite the opposite. The pressure that most teams are under is Anytime a new solution is added is to remove one. And so we were not looking for just another dashboard. Our team wanted less manual effort, better visibility, more confidence that the information they were presenting to me and then helping me present up to executives and boards was reliable, it was current, it was defensible. And so at the end of the day, a risk management platform cannot become just another system for us to manage. It really does need to help us spend less time collecting the information and, pivot us towards making better decisions using it.
Thank you. That's nice to hear your perspective there as the GRC buyer. And switching gears a little bit here, let's talk about presenting to the board and the C-suite. So you've presented to boards and C-suites throughout your career. What is the biggest mistake you see security and risk leaders make when trying to communicate up?
So the biggest takeaway that I would want anyone to have from this conversation is a mature board is ultimately looking for help with making business decisions. Now, don't get me wrong, I have absolutely had audiences that demand to dive into vulnerabilities and threat actors and control maturity and program metrics, and there is an interest in it, there's a thrill in learning all of that. Those discussions do have their place, and I'm happy to go there if it's valuable and when it's valuable. But more often than not, the conversation eventually comes back to business impact and what decisions they are trying to make. The questions they're ultimately trying to answer are, what are our biggest risks? Could they affect the business? Are we making progress against them? And where do you, the CISO or the cyber organization, need our support, our being the board or the executives? And if we think about it that way, it really changes the way myself or any other CISO communicates. It's not then in terms of, status updates, but really as decision documents. Every board is very different. Some directors do want to understand the technology. Some come from finance, operations, healthcare, legal. Their backgrounds can be very, very varied. And so part of the job is meeting them where they are without losing the substance of the conversation. To me, a great board discussion is one where they leave with a clear understanding of the organization's risk posture, confidence that we have a thoughtful plan, and clarity around the decisions or the investments that might require their attention. If they walked out remembering only the heat map that I presented, then I've probably missed the mark. But if they walk out understanding the business risk and the choices in front of them, then that is, a job well done.
I love that. I love what you said about thinking of it as a decision document. I think that's a really good way to look at it, and a good outcome of what you want the board to walk away from with. So thank you for sharing that perspective. Okay, and we have a lot of listeners on the call that are GRC practitioners, maybe looking to advance and become a CISO one day. So Nidhi, can you share if you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice at the start of your CISO career, specifically about cyber risk management, what would it be?
Okay, you're going to make me do just one. I wish someone had told me early in my profession that this will likely be either the most rewarding and at times the most frustrating career that I will ever have. There is no finish line, no moment where you get to declare victory and move on. It's just constantly changing. The threat landscape is changing. The business is changing. Their relationship with you is changing. There are days where you could be their best friend, and then there are days where they will not make eye contact with you in a hallway. The technology evolves, regulations are changing. And just when you think you've reached the top of whatever hill you're on, you realize there's just another one waiting. And so learn to make peace with that. I have. Success isn't just about finishing a program because you never will, you never do. It truly is about making the organization stronger and more resilient than you found it, and giving the next CISO a better foundation to build on. I know you just asked me for one, but I do have to sort of put this in as a, another thing that I have inherited, and it's a really a continuation of my previous point, is that every cyber practitioner or every CISO inherits a program from someone else, from someone, something that someone left behind. And I've never walked into an organization and thought this is bad. More often than not, I find that leaders made the best decision that they could with the information, the resources, and the priorities they had at the time. And my job is not to start over, it's to build on what has already been there and evolve it for its next chapter or the next person. So it could go on. You only asked me for one, but that would be my top one and 1B.
That's great. Thank you. I know one question is definitely a stumper, so I appreciate it. And in the theme of next chapter, next adventure, inheriting from other CISOs, you are currently looking for your next adventure. So has anything surprised you or stuck with you throughout your search so far?
It's actually, so it turns out I'm extremely grumpy when I'm unemployed. I do wanna put that out there. And so I've been more busy now than I potentially was 6 months ago when I was with a corporate organization. But the one thing that has pleasantly surprised me, and I'm having a lot of fun with it, is how much the definition of cybersecurity and the cyber career has expanded. My own sort of headspace, my bandwidth, and my own search has opened the door and my own sort of perspective to avenues like private equity and venture capital firms and board work and advisory roles and engaging with founders. 10 years ago, I would have looked at these and thought of them as side gigs or side hustles. Today, they're a part of my portfolio career where they're actually impacting the way I think and the way I practice in many different ways. They're truly rounding out my own experience. And I think it's a sign of how our profession has evolved. It's no longer viewed, cyber is no longer viewed solely as an operational function. Organizations are looking for leaders that can help shape strategy, evaluate investments, advise boards, and navigate emerging technologies like AI. So I am very excited about my next full-time role. But I've also really enjoyed discovering new ways to contribute. My own career has not followed one path, and I'm proud to say it's still not doing that. And it really is evolving alongside the profession itself.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. We'd love to close with your version of a practitioner's playbook distilled from your career. For someone building a risk program or trying to level up the one they have, what are the principles that you'd put at the top of the list?
Okay. Thank you for not making this a one thing answer. Okay, so the first thing I'd probably say is don't fear risk management. It is the job. Technology changes, threats evolve, regulations come and go, but the constant is helping the business understand risk and making better decisions. And risk management isn't something to avoid or to delegate. It is the very heart of a CISO function. Our role is not to eliminate every risk, it's to ensure the business understands them and makes informed, deliberate decisions about the risks that they have to take. So that's the first. The second sort of principle I'd put in this practitioner's playbook, is learn to speak the language of the business. I I think I've spent years becoming fluent in cybersecurity, and I'm not there yet, even after 20 years of being in the practice. But it's almost taken me longer to realize that my job wasn't just to understand cyber risk, it was to make sure everybody else understood it and translate it for them. And so the best security leaders do translate technical issues into business decisions. That would be my second. And since you were kind enough to talk with me about my own career and my own aspirations, the third thing I'll say is attach yourself or find yourself an organization that values cybersecurity as a strategy function, but also trust your instincts. I try and stay curious. I keep learning. But what I'd offer to everybody else is, if there's one thing I could tell you, is don't second guess your own intuition or your judgment. Experience will teach you to recognize risks long before the metrics actually catch up to them. So stay true to that because this role will test your principles.
Thank you. That's great insight. I appreciate you sharing that. Nidhi, thank you for joining us and for sharing your insights on moving GRC beyond compliance to build resilience and better decisions. And thank you all for listening. We will see you next time. That's a wrap for this episode of GRC and Me.